I have a unique sermon for you tonight, and I hope it helps you to think about something that's probably one of the most important things to a Christian in their life, but that we often do not consider. as you know, in our country, it's highly debated, this thing of the right to keep and to bear arms. All right, it's a highly debated topic, and it's one here in the state of Texas that we really don't have to fight a lot about. I do enjoy going to a local establishment sometimes just to look what they have, called Half Price Books, and you know, it's a good place to pick up books and stuff at a good price. I'm a fan of the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And this Bible was actually printed in 1964. I was right the first time. My wife actually got this for me. It's in wonderful condition. $15. It's over a $100 Bible for $15. And so I like half-price books. But in the state of Texas, in my wallet over there, I have a license to carry. I went through the classes, you know, all those things. I got my license, so it's legal, those types of things. But at Half Price Books, they have up their signs. They don't want you to carry a weapon in their establishment. So I reluctantly leave it in the car. Amen. Carrying a weapon is a means of self-defense. It's a means to protect yourself or your family. For a law-abiding citizen, it's a means of protection to the whole community. If everybody carried a gun, I don't think anybody would rob anybody. Okay? Because, who wants to rob someone that's going to shoot back? I mean, no. That's not going to happen. Okay? Things like that. And so, I want to get you on that thought a little bit. But go take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. And in verse 11, you know this verse. Some of you know maybe a rendition of a scripture song to sing with it. We use it in our pledge to the Bible in our Christian school. But in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Would anyone agree that we're in a battle? We're in a battle, right? We're in a battle against sin. We're in a battle against the world. We're in a battle against the devil. We're in a battle against, what you might call human reasoning or humanism. We're in that battle, okay? And it says that we hide God's word in our heart so that we'll be able to fight against these things, that we might not sin against God, against thee, it says, all right? And then I want you to turn over to Ephesians 17. I'm sorry, it's chapter 6, verse 17. There is no Ephesians 17. All right. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says, talking about the armor of the Christian, it says this, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Okay? Calls the word of God a sword. All right? Now, in my pocket, I can easily carry a little pocket knife, right? And I can somewhat defend myself with this. It's more, better suited to like pick your teeth with it, but things like that. I can slip that in my pocket, and it's hid, right? And so when I need it, I can take it out, and I can threaten one of my children to do what they're supposed to do. No, I wouldn't do that. Not all the time. But, I could tell, hey, back off, pal. Don't mess with me, And that might be effective somewhat, okay? And like I said, for sake of being careful, I decided to leave my main weapon concealed. But I did bring a sword of the Spirit. Okay? It's real. All right. And actually, it's sharpened. It's a two-edged sword that can pierce, right? It can cut. It can do the things that it's supposed to do. And you know what? I can... I can get you. Or I can get you. Hey, when you're fighting against sin, is this what you're pulling out? As your concealed weapon? Against the wiles of the devil? Against the rulers of darkness of this world? A lot of Christians are pulling out one of these when you should be pulling out one of these. It doesn't say the pocket knife of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. No, my friends, it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know, I like this particular sword. It's a broad sword. It's kind of fun, you know, medieval times and all that stuff. It actually has a belt loop on it. I can hang it on here. Yeah, we could just walk around, right? And you know what? I can even conceal it, right? Because it's important to be ready when you need to be to fight against the wiles of the devil. Now, the message is not about this sword tonight, although it's a nice illustration. The message is about this sword. And this is our concealed carry weapon. And so tonight I just want to talk to you about concealed carry. Are you going to whip out one of these to fight the devil? Or are you going to whip out one of these to fight against sin and against the wiles of the devil and against the world that we live in, this darkness that's surrounding us and the insanity of human reasoning? What are you going to use to fight with? I sure hope that all you have, I mean, and this is a useful tool, don't get me wrong, but to a very small scale compared to that. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I hope that you'd help all of us understand the magnitude of knowing the Word of God. The magnitude of Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That we'd understand the magnitude of how important it is to have a concealed weapon ready to use in an emergency. Ready to use if we're attacked. Ready to use if our family or our personal lives are at risk. God, I pray that you'd help us be ready. That in the day of adversity, in the day of difficulty, that we wouldn't be pulling out a little pocket knife, but rather we'd be able to wield a powerful weapon, a sword against the wiles of the devil. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all understand the magnitude of these things tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So with this, it's just simple. You're believers. You're seasoned veterans, if you will, in the faith. And listen, your pastor is probably one of the smartest guys that I know. I love his literature that he's written and things that I know he teaches y'all. I know he does. And so I want to tonight just to give you a little bit of breadth to this subject of memorizing scripture, of knowing your Bible. Because let me tell you something. You may not be able to carry this book everywhere. But you can carry it in here. And they can't take it away. Okay? Half price books can't make me leave my brain in the car. Alright? They may make me leave my gun in the car, but they can't make me leave my brain in the car. You know, you may go somewhere where there's a sign up there that says, no Bibles. And they may make you leave it in the car, but they can't make you check your brain in the car. Okay? They can't make you take that out of there because it's there and they can't get to it. And you know what? That's exactly what we need to worry about. Another thing we need to think about too is this, is, you know, I could carry around this, right? Everybody knows exactly what I have. Yeah, they do. But you know what? When I carry this down the street, everybody knows exactly what I've got. But when I've got it concealed here or here, you don't know what I've got. And the devil doesn't know how much scripture you know. Oh yeah, no, those Jehovah's Witnesses or the atheists or the agnostics or those that you're trying to witness to, they don't know how much of the Word of God you have hidden up here. It might be this much for most, but it might be this much, and this will do some damage. Oh, it says divide asunder. Oh yeah, cuts, pierces deep. I mean, this particular model even has a blood groove there. I mean, that's nice. It just helps it go in a little further, you know? I like that. But you know what? We've got to be ready. We've got to know the Word of God. So I just want to be a blessing tonight to this church. You may already do some of these things or know some of these things that I'm going to tell you about tonight. But I tell you what, something that you can remember is, you can always make this a little bigger. Oh yeah. And listen, us older folks that don't memorize things very well, the more you use it, the better it gets. Oh yeah. Those of you that do anything, have anything to do with weightlifting, I tease people. Yeah, I got a couple of guns right here. Okay, mine are very well concealed. Okay. some of you will get that by freight. Okay. Now, but you know what? When you're lifting weights, my son Ethan, some of you wouldn't even recognize him. He's already 2 inches taller than me. Yeah, he's sprung up like an oak tree, I guess. He's almost in a size 15 shoe. He's a giant. he's 14. He said, "Dad, I want to lift weights." Okay, well, we'll work on that and those things. So I got him picking up rocks and bricks and tree branches and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. That's weights, nature's weights, you know. I was trying to teach him about the process of why we lift weights and do those things. Because you actually lift something that's heavier than your body is used to lifting, so it tears the muscle fibers so that when they repair, they grow. That's the science behind it. Okay, and so think about that in the way of our minds. Right, the more we memorize, okay, that helps tear those little fibers and helps our capacity to grow. Okay, we need to be using our minds. And those of you that know education, when you teach little ones at a young age to memorize, it's easier for them when they get older. They just roll right into it. In our Christian school, we memorized Proverbs 29 for the first half of school and Proverbs 30 for this last half of school. I have 5-year-olds that can stand up and say the 33 verses of Proverbs 30 and the 27 verses of Proverbs 29 word perfect without any help. That's over 500 words in all at once. 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, just like that, roll right off their tongue. And you know what? I could never do that. You could work up to it. You can. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're just going to talk about concealed carry. We're going to talk about our ability to memorize God's Word. And the first one is, in order to memorize God's Word, you've got to read God's Word. All right, it's as simple as that. You got to read it. Go over to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses to help young college students understand the importance of teaching children reading. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. The Bible says, "So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That verse is just outstanding. Okay? If you want to tell somebody how important it is to read God's Word, use that verse. Because it uses things like distinctly. They read distinctly. Okay? That means they read every single word. They didn't skip a word. They didn't skip a passage. Oh, that's a hard word. Oh, that's just begat, 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 begat. I don't need to read that. Or over here on the other page here, the children of Haram, 320. The children of Jericho, 345. The children of Lot, I don't need to read that. That's just a list of names and numbers, and I can skip that. Hey, it's God's Word. Read it. Read it distinctly. And then he says here that they read it and they gave the sense. It needs to make sense. You say, well, what does that mean? I don't understand that. Don't just skip by it. Don't just gloss over it. Find out. Ask somebody. Do a little research. Circle it. Come back to it later. Get the sense of what God is trying to say. He says, and caused them to understand the reading. You know, some of you may understand about Christian education. When a teacher stands in front of a class with a maybe a chalkboard or a dry erase board, and they're writing up a math problem or a language sentence or something like that, and they say, now, do you kids understand? And all the kids go, when really the answer is, no. How do you know somebody understands? Ask them a question. Ask them a question. Does this do that? Well, or here's step number one. What should I do next? I don't remember what you said. Okay. Yeah. Oh, listen. I've been in classrooms for over 15 years. I get it. The kids just most of the time go, because they don't want to hear you talk anymore. They want to do something else. They want to go recess. They want to eat lunch. They want to play games. They don't want to learn anymore. But so we've got to make sure we cause them to understand the reading. We've got to understand. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Folks, when we're reading God's Word, you need to get something from the book. Listen, don't make it like some kind of a college assignment where they said, well, you have to read this chapter. Well, there's a measure of wisdom say within my heart, there's no fear to be before his eyes, he flattered himself, his own eyes, and iniquity is found, and hateful in the word of the mouth, or deceit, got that done. Bible reading's done for today. 5 minutes later, after your morning coffee and the first part of the segment of the news, you don't even remember one word of what you read in this book. Yeah. In our Bible memory program at school, I don't let the kids do this. Let me pick a short verse so I can remember some of it. Here we go. Okay. But I know thy abode and thy in and thy going out. And I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming. But I know thy abode and thy coming in and thy going out, they may not rage against me. That's not Bible memory. That's not reading to understand. That's not learning. No, that's just, I don't know if you even call it recitation. It's nothing, because 5 minutes later or 5 days later, they have no idea. But from the time that school starts until, let's see, beginning of January, every day, every school day, we would read the verses, two verses a week. Read the verses, recite the verses, give a grade, write the verses in penmanship class. The next day, or the next week, I would add two more verses. They would read those every day, write those every day, recite the new verses that week. The next week, now it's six verses. The next week, now it's eight verses. The next week, now it's 10, now it's 12, now it's 14, now it's 16. By the end, by January, they were actually writing out and reading every day of school 27 verses of Proverbs 29 and 33 verses of Proverbs 30 every day. And then, is it any surprise to you that by the end of that time, they could stand up and quote the whole chapter without any help? Listen, I'm so tough. If they miss an S on a plural word, I don't give it to them. Oh, yeah. See, Brother Combs, you're nuts. I know I'm nuts. Come join me. It's a wonderful life. See, I'm always smiling, right? You have to be careful with somebody who's smiling. You never know what they're going to pull on you, right? Now, we've got to read it. One more scripture passage here. 2 Kings 22. I love this story. It has to do with children. Many of you know I'm involved in a lot of children's ministries. We have a King's Kids program which promotes memorizing scripture, Bible principles, things like that. You know I'm involved in Christian education. And if I could talk and find 2 Kings at the same time, that'd be amazing. 2 Kings 22. This story is about Josiah. And we understand that he began to reign as a child. Look at what it says here in 22 in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Basech. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, he was following an example. Right? He was following an example, which is great to follow. Follow good examples, godly examples. We know that David, even though he had some faults, was a good ruler, a good king. Now, if we skip down here, for sake of time, there was a problem in Israel at this time. There was a problem. Remember, he was following an example, right? Now look here, look at verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Woo! It was lost. It had been lost for years and years and years. And finally, after doing some repairs to the house of God and giving out some money to these guys, they began to clean up things. And it was amazing because in some cubbyhole somewhere, Hilkiah said unto Shaphan the scribe, he found the book. He said, and Hilkiah gave it the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, and that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his Could you imagine? Hey, listen, I don't know how old you were when you got saved. But listen, the Bible was always part of my life, so it wasn't amazing to me that this book existed. But you know what? There are some people that live a lot of their life, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and have never even opened the Bible. And when you witness to them and you show them the Word of God, they're like, ha ha, wah ha! Ah, I can't believe it! Like the king did. Well, he was following a good example. But he didn't have the book. And now he's got the book. It's been read to him. Oh, what a life changer. What a game changer. Oh, it is. Hey, listen. You know, for me, having a concealed weapon is just something I do. It's a game changer. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anything anyways, but it just helps, you know? But you know what? More importantly, I know I can help somebody if I need to. And I'm at peace with it. If I have to, I will. I'm okay with it. You know what? As a soul winner, are you willing to pull out what you have to save somebody's life or to help somebody? But hey, friend, what are you pulling out? This? Or this? I mean, do you really expect to free someone from the bonds of sin with that? Might take you a while. I could free somebody from the bonds of sin pretty quickly with this. Oh, yeah. Get that old devil run for his money, right? Lord Jesus did it with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But guess what? He knows the whole book. You and I don't. You know, I decided a long time ago that even as a preacher and as a student of the Bible, that I believe that there's not a human being in this world that can totally exhaust the content of this book. I don't. I forget my name sometimes, folks. I mean, come on. Where'd my car keys go, guys? Oh, yeah, they're over here. Come on. I mean, how many of you as kids, maybe you didn't memorize the Bible. Some of it. How much of it do you still know? Kind of leaked out the backside. Exactly. Read it. Now, number two. Keep it. Keep it. Don't just read it and forget it. Read it and keep it. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Would anybody argue with me that Joshua was going to embark on a very difficult task? How would you like to lead 3 million complaining people into the promised land? Anybody volunteer for that? No! No way! That was tough. I mean, rough. I mean, they wouldn't even listen to Moses, and Moses is considered one of the greatest leaders of all time, right? And now here you are trying to fill his shoes? Ha! Come on. No way. Would any of you sign up for that? No. And guess what? Joshua didn't sign up for it. He was just told. He was voluntold. Anybody been voluntold? I'm an assistant pastor. I'm voluntold all the time, right? You don't volunteer, you're voluntold. Amen? You do this. Okay. Only be thou strong, look at verse 7, and very courageous. Listen to what God says to him. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. It's the first 5 books of the Bible. Wow. The Torah, the law. And he says that Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Ding, 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 ding. Want to keep it? Meditate day and night. Hey, get in the book, stay in the book. Think about the book. Consider the book. Ponder the book. Listen, I'm not against entertainment completely. I mean, there's a lot of things about it that aren't good. But you know what? Isn't it amazing how quickly children pick up on movie lines and songs? I mean, I got a 3-year-old that walks around the house, let it go, let it go. Okay, we don't listen to all that all the time, but she heard it a couple times and she knows it. All right? I mean, come on. She's three. But you know what? She also can recite scripture too. Now, we've got to figure this out, don't we? Well, we got to figure out, hey, what am I spending my time on? I'm reading the Bible, but is that really what I'm focused on? Am I concentrated on it? Or are other things cumbering up my life so that I cannot retain God's word in my mind? Hey, can I tell you something? We all have our limits of capacity. Okay? Some may be limited to a small capacity. But you know what? We have the potential of this capacity. We do. We have the potential. It's all up to us. Now, I don't have time to go into the whole subject of being filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, we all have the Holy Spirit. Those of us that are believers, we're born again. We have the Spirit of God. But how much of you does He have? That's the difference of your capacity, whether it's going to be this much or that much. It matters. God told Joshua to meditate. He told him to think on it, to observe it, to not go to the right or to the left. And He said, then you'll be prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Paul told Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. Listen to this. He said, Paul says, keep it, but he tells him how. By the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know, the Holy Ghost of God is commanded to bring all things that Jesus has taught us into remembrance. Yeah, that's one of His jobs. Hey, are we forgetful? Yes. Most of the time, you're like me. You're not so much forgetful. You're just eternally distracted. Okay? Yes, I am. Brother York and I go back and forth about me seeing squirrels. And I shot a squirrel yesterday with my pellet gun. He was stealing my peaches off my tree. He is stealing no more. Now he's fertilizing my tree. That's what squirrels are good for, amen? Now, He says to keep them by the Holy Ghost. How much of Him are you actually using? Very little, I'm ashamed to say. He's there. He's your keeper. He's your pocket to put something in. He's your holster to help you keep that concealed weapon ready. Yeah. And guess what? He wants you to use it. That's the purpose that He has. The Holy Ghost of God wants us to be able to keep what we've learned. Hey, as a teacher, I want the kids to retain what they've learned. I do. And I'm going to try to help them do it. He's going to help us if we let Him. We've got to keep it. You know, one of the things that's important, even with this little pocket knife, I need to make sure I keep it. But not only do I need to make sure I have possession of it, I need to make sure that it's clean. I need to make sure that it's sharp. I mean, even this little tiny thing can be sharp. And should be, if it's going to be useful. Oh, it's not much of a blade. Oh, but it's a blade. And it'll do if it's all I've got. I mean, it's sharper than my fingernails. I mean, you say, well, yeah. Do you know what? I'd almost rather have a sharp one of these than just a blunt. Well, this would be a pretty good club. But, you know, but I want this to be sharp, too. You need to keep it clean, keep it sharp, keep it honed. You know, another thing, too. I'm going to keep this out for a second. You know what? I ought to know how to use this thing. I might hurt myself if I don't. I should. You know, just a sidebar, and I'm sure that pretty much you're for our Second Amendment rights. But you know what? My definition of gun control is hitting what you're aiming at. Okay? Yeah, I know how to use it. You know what I think about? My children know how to use weapons. I think they should be taught. I think that's how accidents happen, is when you don't know what it is. And some kid sees a gun laying there, and they don't know how it is. All they've seen is in the movies, and they start playing with it, and somebody gets shot. You got to teach people how to take care of things, how to use things. You know what? Isn't that what's wrong with all the different churches out there? Think about this. People being careless with how they use the Word of God. Oh, you never thought of that, did you? Oh, they take this part of the Bible to develop this doctrine. Take this part of the Bible to develop this doctrine. Oh, now we have a new way of salvation. Now we have a new way of this, a new way of that. Because they're careless with how they use this weapon. Oh. Now, that brings me to the last point. We need to read it. We need to keep it. We need to use it. We need to use it. At the safety team at our church, I'm the head of it, and I tell my guys, you got to go to the range. You need to use your weapon, so you're familiar with it, so that it's in good working order. It needs to be cared for. It needs to be maintenance correctly. But you need to go out and you need to use it, so that when the time comes to use it, you can. Yeah. Hey, you want to stay sharp? Use it. If you want to, what you say, okay, well, I memorized all this Bible verses. Why? Just so you can say you know it? No, you need to use it. Go out and use it. Hey, what shame would it be for me? I'm an able-bodied individual. Okay, I have military training. I have common sense to some degree. Some people may argue me with that. But I'm standing here. I have the ability. I have what I need as far as a concealed weapon. I have something that I can help care for things for people. And someone right here is being attacked and being beaten to death or being shot at. And I just stand there. Like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Huh. That reminds me of a movie I saw once. Yeah, interesting. I hope they don't get any blood on me. What a shame. Yeah, there isn't a lot of blood. He may die. That guy's getting away. He caught him. What a shame. Well, besides weapons, I also have one of these. Emergency responder. I can do CPR. Just watch them bleed to death. I've read it. I kept it. I have it, right? People are going to hell. We pass by. We don't do anything about it. We don't say anything about it. We're too busy. We don't want to pull out our weapon and use it. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're timid. Maybe we're shy. Maybe we're reserved. I don't know what our reasons are. We just don't. Okay, listen, you may end your life, and this is your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if that's all you're capable of, I'm not going to make fun of you. But you know what? I think God thinks and knows what we're capable of. And He wants us to use it. He wants us to know how to use it. And He wants us to stand by and watch as people's lives fall apart. As our country goes to hell in a handbasket, if you will. Well, stand up and say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Say something. Do something. Use it. a few verses for you. We know Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What good is a lamp if you don't light it? What good is a lamp if you don't hold it up and take it with you? If you don't hold it out before you as you go down the path, what good is it? If you hide it under a bushel? No! Right? No, it doesn't do any good. You gotta let that light shine. Romans 10 verses 13 to 15, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then let me just kind of close things by saying this. Paul was trying to encourage Timothy, his son in the faith. And he said to Timothy, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, I don't know many soldiers that walk around with Swiss Army knives going to battle. But I do know soldiers that walk around with swords and they know how to use them. They know how to fight with them. And they know how to serve their king with them. And they know how to conquer the enemy with them. Because they know how to use it. You know what? And they're not afraid to use it. And neither should we. Listen, we have the greatest king to serve. And that king has not left us void of a weapon. He's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's preserved it. He's given it to us. He's allowed us to have the very mind of God. And yet we often leave it sitting around. Or when we do read it, we don't consider these things. And all we're able to wield is that. Well, I know the Romans road. That's great. But how much more? How much more? You know, probably a silly message. Probably a simple one. But what's your concealed carry status like? Is it good? Does it need to be renewed? Need to upgrade your weapon? Maybe you're not even carrying one. I think you should. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our time tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for salvation, rich and free. Lord, I love these people, the good people. Love this church. Good Bible-believing, soul-winning, dedicated, separated Bible-believing Baptist church. But Lord, I think all of us could use an upgrade in what we're carrying. We need to read the Bible. We need to keep it. We need to live by it and make it part of our life and meditate on it and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And then we need to use it. Be a witness and be a separated in our example, in our life and how we live by the principles of the Word of God and show to others and speak to others the wonderful works of God which He hath done. And as redeemed of the Lord, we need to say so because we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy.